We're going to move on to our next panel, which is on the future of retail. We're going to start with Jason Goldberg. Jason is the retail geek, and he is also has his own podcast, The Jason and Scott Show. Jason, why don't you start us off at our retail panel?
Hey, thanks so much, Larry. I love this. Sam just taught us how to avoid dubious information, and here I am to probably deliver some, so that's perfect. good segue. So I want to start by telling you a story about a terrifying meeting I was invited to early in my career. It was the winter of 1999, and I was a kid that grew up in California and had briefly been living in Florida for a few years. So I traveled to Minneapolis in the winter of 1999 to attend this meeting. I'm wildly underdressed, by the way, for the Minneapolis winter. I was invited to a board meeting at Best Buy. And the CEO then at Best Buy was the founder, Dick Schultz, and they were in the process of acquiring the Musicland Group, which was the largest music retailer in the country. For those of you on the younger side, music used to be sold on these plastic circles that you bought at the mall. And so Best Buy had just bought in the Musicland Group, and Dick was convinced that Musicland should be investing in e-commerce. The CEO of Musicland Group, this longtime leader, Jack Euster, was kind of skeptical about the internet. And so they brought me in to give a position about how Musicland could be successful selling music on the new interweb. And I had done something similar at Blockbuster a few years before, so they perceived I had some credibility. So you know, I presented some data that we had collected and some experiences that I had had at Blockbuster, and I did recommend that Musicland launch an e-commerce site. But then I did something really scary. I said, and oh, by the way, so should Best Buy, right? And you guys need to be selling consumer electronics online. Dick Schultz, who up till this point was my biggest fan and loved that I was trying to convince Jack to get into e-commerce, suddenly turned white, right? And he did not like that advice at all. And he looked at me in this you know, big scary meeting that I was terrified to be in, and he said, Jason, nobody wants to buy a TV online. And by the way, back then he was probably right. TVs were giant and CRT based and pretty difficult to ship. But I didn't know it at the time, but that quote was going to become the theme of my career. Not very long after that meeting, I was in a similar meeting at the Gap, and then the CEO of the Gap, Mickey Drexler, explained to me why no one would ever buy clothes online because they need to try them on and feel the fabrics. And Howard Lester, the CEO of Williams-Sonoma, was convinced that no one would ever buy tabletop online because they needed to see the beautiful workmanship. Bruno Pavlovsky, the president of Chanel, you know, explained to me that, Jason, luxury is built in the dressing room, not on a website. And then as recently as 2018, I accidentally got in a public feud on Twitter with the Stern family, which are the primary owners of Patek Philippe, who were convinced that people should never buy watches online and that I literally quote, people should use their legs more and walk to the store. So for those of you that don't follow these industries, today Apple sells more watches online than all of Switzerland. 50% of all consumer electronics in the United States are bought online. More than 70% of all Williams-Sonoma sales are online. Last year, partly aided by the pandemic, more apparel was bought online than in all of stores. And even for most restaurants, for Panera Grill, they sold more meals online than they did people walking in and ordering from their restaurants. So all of those industries where these really smart leaders told me, hey, digital is not going to disrupt our industry, have been disrupted by digital. And for a while, I was shocked that I had to keep having this conversation over. But what I've learned is that we are still super early in this disruption, and that's why people don't understand what's happening. The largest segment of consumer industry is the automotive industry. It's 25% of retail. With the exception of one company, no one sells cars online. The second largest category is grocery. It's 17% of retail. Before the pandemic, less than 2% of grocery sales were online. We are still early in this disruption, and people have to remember that incumbents don't generally do well in disruptions. None of the ice harvesters that made a fortune harvesting ice, like, invested in ice factories, and none of the ice factory owners invested in home ice machines. It's just not how business owners tend to think. But this digital disruption is fundamentally changing all our industries, not just our retail industry. Those department stores and specialty big box that used to win on convenience and assortment can't win against a website with 800 million products. And without those stores, the mall doesn't work with its anchor tenants, and the unit economics of that doesn't work. We now have a significant forecast that 25 to 50% of the 1,200 regional malls in the U.S. are on the verge of closing. 80,000 stores in the U.S. could close. We're so wildly overstored that that's not really a huge problem for the industry. And what I always have to remind people is brick and mortar is always going to have a role in retail. I'm not an anti-brick and mortar person, but always be suspicious when someone tells you people will never, or people like the old way, right? Today we have people saying everyone's going to go back to the grocery store because people like picking their own produce. But I've been told that in the Industrial Revolution, you know, they used to make the argument that people like knowing the farmer that grew their wheat, and they would never buy these national brands of flour, for example. And most of you probably don't know the farmer that grows your wheat today. So this digital disruption is happening. We're still early. It's having profound impacts on our society. Two key ways that it's changing in the last 30 seconds are that brands and retailers are colliding. Sucharita is going to talk a lot more about this. But because of digital, winning based on assortment and convenience is really hard. We tend to have one aggregator in every market that wins based on that. So that's Amazon or Alibaba or Mercado Libre. For anyone else, it becomes really hard to make money selling other people's stuff. So most other flavors of retail end up looking like a curated brand that sells their own stuff, often bundling it with services. And so you see people like Nike pivoting from being a wholesaler to a direct-to-consumer brand. And we also see the shopping experience get unbundled. We say frequently that e-commerce solved buying but broke shopping. In the old world before digital, awareness, interest, desire, acquisition, delivery all happened at the same moment in a store in front of a shelf. Procter & Gamble named it the first moment of truth. And the idea was you became aware of a product, wanted it, and bought it all at once. Digitally, that doesn't have to happen that way. The interest for that product might happen on a social network, and awareness might happen on an ad on Facebook, but acquisition could happen on an e-commerce site, whereas delivery happens from that e-commerce or from that UPS driver. And so thinking about unbundling the shopping experience in the store into all these micro moments, you know, is an interesting part of this digital disruption we're playing through. So hopefully that's enough to get us started before the smart speakers come in, Larry, but happy to talk about it more when we get to the Q&A section.